I want you to be turning with me for a few minutes to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. God has exercised my heart afresh in the book of Philippians. And I've been preaching a good bit in the book of Philippians as I feel the urge and the liberty. But the book of Philippians begins with Paul reminiscing. And he remembers, he recollects that good work that God began in Philippi. Being confident, he said, of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you. A good work. We'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So that, of course, throws me back to the book of Acts, where that good work was manifested. Unless God would lead otherwise, and that's his business. I want to preach in these two mornings about how God works. I do not mean by that to have some special answer. You know, we live in a how-to society. You can buy how-to books on everything. I read about the fellow who was thinking about marriage, and he went to the library, and he got to the encyclopedia section. He got to the letter H. As he was scanning through, and he noticed this one encyclopedia said, how, H-O-W, that's where it would begin. And then it had two, how to love, L-O-V-E. That is, it's going to go from how to love. The H's, the I's, the J's, the K's, and on to the middle of the L's. I'm sure he was in for a shocker when he checked out that encyclopedia. And I feel the same way when it comes to the operation of God. Some people think they've got it all figured out. But God is so vast. God is so majestic. God is so much God. We might as well use some encyclopedia to get our answers. However, I do want to know more about his ways. Paul, in his old age, not as a young man, but as an older, elder statesman, he still said that I may know him. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. He never felt like he had arrived. He never leveled out. He never reached that plateau of ease that some seem to reach. But he kept desiring to know him. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. We'd like to leave that part out of the text, don't we? Being made conformable unto his death. And so the Apostle Paul, in his zeal to know him, wrote to the Philippians about him. In fact, the book of Philippians basically promotes the Christ life. For to me, to live is Christ. Not about Christ, not just for Christ, but Christ. For to me, to live is Christ. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. And so as I've meditated upon Paul writing to these saints about the Christ life, I'm interested in when this life was communicated. The life of Christ doesn't just absorb into us, does it? There must be a time when this life is communicated. Paul wrote to the saints at Thessalonica and said, all men have not faith. Now, I used to try to tell folks I would witness to, you just need to put your faith in Jesus. But Paul said, all men have not faith. And I would use that nice illustration about sitting down in a chair, just trusting the chair to hold you up. Just sit down in Jesus. When you came in, you didn't ask anyone, has this pew fallen lately? You just trusted it and plopped down on it. That's like faith, I would say. Then I was preaching in a little mountain church in Alto, Tennessee. That's right next to Soprano. Actually, it's not, but... And in this summer meeting, the windows were open, the back doors were open, the little side door was open. And while I was preaching, I noticed an old dog came in the back door. I thought probably when I moved to the right or the left, the dog had gone back out. But to our surprise, after the service, guess who had curled up on the back pew? The old hound dog. I decided in that service, if a hound dog could do it, I need to change my illustration. Also, I used to use this thing of, we use the word crank here in the Southeast. Actually, my wife tells me it's starting a car, but I still find myself cranking the car. But I used to say faith is just like turning the key in your ignition. Just turn it, trust, believe. But I forgot about that old 66 Volkswagen I had. I had to park it on a hill every time I stopped so I could roll it off and catch it in second gear. I want to tell you, faith is not some natural born quality. It's the gift of God. For it is given unto you for his name's sake, not only to believe, but to suffer for him. Paul wrote to the Philippians. But I'm interested in this work, and God willing, in these two services, as we think about how God works, I'd like for a few minutes to mention this morning how God works in places. That's my burden this morning, places. And then God willing in the morning, we'll look at the three conversions at Philippi, and I want to talk in the morning about how God works in people. Now, I think the reason I've got this burden about places is because everywhere I go, people are looking for greener grass. They're looking for another place. They're looking for another opportunity. And it's possible that even in this meeting, there are those who are looking for another place. May I say, if God has aroused that in your heart, then you keep looking until God leads you to that place. But often the circumstances produce a desperation in us. And a desperation that may not be of God. And we want to get out of that place. We want to get out of that situation, out of that circumstance. I want to remind you that God works in places. And I'm going to read just a few verses. I don't want to read the entire chapter. You've got 40 verses. And all the people said, amen. We have a meal here. But I want to begin in verse 1 and read down through verse 12. I'm just going to take a few verses at a time, make a few comments, and then move on to a few other verses. I want you to notice firstly with me that God works in different places. That's one of the words we use. Well, the place where I am is just different. It's just different. The people are different. You just have to know the leadership, and especially those who have been put in Sunday school class. It's different. It's just their mindset is different. And the whole area, I don't think they've ever had a God-given revival in that area. It's different. But God works in different places. He doesn't have a cookie cutter that he cuts everything out and we all come out just alike in the same type ministry, the same type personality, the same type format. It's one of the blessings of life. I tell you, I thought I don't fit anywhere. My dad was a very dictatorial type person or dictatorial. He was very demanding. I don't think I ever pleased him. And then I got in high school and had some ability sports-wise, and my coach was one of those drivers. I mean, just ultra drivers. And I could never please him. You know, if you score 25, he wants 40. And I never could please him. I was too gentle. I was too easy. Didn't have enough fighting. Then I got married. She's not here. I better stop. Are your wives different from you? Oh, my, look. We grew up in the same town, went to the same school and the same church. I don't know how we could be so different. But my wife, you take for instance, if she has this unrealistic belief. I think it's somehow in her upbringing, in her family tree. I don't know where she picked this up. My wife actually thinks that a garage is where you're to park your car. Anybody's got any sense knows that's where you put your junk. I can tell that didn't go over very well with the ladies. I want to tell you, God doesn't have to have everybody alike. He works in different ways, in different places, different people. Then came he, Luke writes in verse 1, to Derbe and Lystra. There's two places. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra. Here's a third one. And Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, here's some which are unnamed, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at, here's another one, Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia. Here's another. And the region of Galatia. and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Messiah, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Messiah, came down to Troas. You see all these towns, all these places, all these locations. I want to say God works in different places. By the way, he works according to the leadership of the blessed Holy Ghost. Now, my first question here when I came to this some years ago, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach. The Spirit suffered them not to go into Bithynia. I thought Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Just go get you a place of service. Just get out there and get with it. No, that's not when you take the entire message of the scripture. That's not the method. Just as Boaz left an unnamed servant over the fields in his absence, so the Lord Jesus, the Lord of the harvest, has left one who does not serve for a name, for his own name's sake. Another Boaz has left his servant in the fields to coordinate the work. In one sense, the Holy Spirit is as much Lord of the harvest as the Lord Jesus is Lord of the harvest. And Luke says, Paul and his company, Silas and Timothy, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. Sounds to me like a little manipulation is going on. You see, the comforter is not always the comforter. At times, he's the manipulator. He says, he checks our hearts and he says, you can't do that now. That's not on my agenda right now. We'll bypass Asia. Don't preach the word in Asia. Of course, there's something in all of us. We want to manipulate. That's the reason the Holy Spirit is often passed over in our day. Why should we let him manipulate when we have learned how to do that? Why do I need the Holy Ghost? When I've taken and I've listened to all the CDs on great leadership, I know what to do next. I know what chains to pull. I'm a great leader, so manipulation is okay. We'll hide behind that sometimes. Or we'll hide behind pastoral authority. They didn't call my wife to this church. They called me. They're going to follow. They're going to have to follow me. And if we're not careful, we'll get a little manipulative. Instead of letting the Holy Ghost do the manipulating. Or I'll preach a good message on God's sovereignty and his lordship and his authority. And then I'll say, well, what I said was not wrong. What I did was not wrong. It was not manipulative. God is sovereign and he'll work it all out. And I'll hide behind that. Or let's go back to the evangelism thing. I ought to get by with saying something. I've given 36, 37 years of my life out here to these churches. If I want to manipulate a little. But to walk with the living Lord as we have been exhorted is not to be the manipulator ourselves, moving checkers, moving chess personnel, getting everything the way we want it, but it's following the blessed Holy Ghost. He's in charge of this thing. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And then they decided, well, let's go to Bithynia. Y'all forgive me now. Let's be candid about it. Do you know of anybody that's ever started to work in Bithynia? Well, I'm going to be honest. I think the only thing they have over there is basically Jewish oriented. And I think we ought to start to work over there, Bithynia. And I tell you what, if you'll help me with this burden, we might get something going. Maybe we could get it set up, get it running, then get a young man in there who's full of zeal and God. He can do a great work for Jesus. And the Holy Ghost says, hold it. I did not give you leeway to go to Bithynia. The Spirit suffered them not. Strong, isn't it? Yeah, but we've already raised some funds. We've already got some prayer partners. But the Spirit suffered them not. He works in different places. Bithynia looks like a good open door to me. But he said no. Asia looks like unplowed ground to me. But he said no. So Luke said they left that intention behind, and they went by Messiah and came down to Troas. And it was at Troas that God gave Paul a vision about Macedonia. Can you see how God is at work in different places? I don't know how we get it in our minds that he's only working here or only working there, or it would be a better opportunity here or a more advantage here. No, God has all of that in his focus, you better believe. And he knows how to move us. They went through Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, Galatia, Phrygia. They bypassed Asia, and Bithynia went to Mysia and Troas, so God could speak to Paul about Macedonia. Different places. Different places. Notice furthermore, though, when we come to Macedonia, God not only works in different places, God works in definite places. In the night, there stood a man of Macedonia, verse 9, and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And Luke said in verse 10, after he had seen the vision, immediately, God has let him get sidelined a little bit here in Troas long enough for Dr. Luke to join the party. Somebody said, well, I don't know what God's doing. Seems like he's always got me on hold. Everybody else just goes home, serves the Lord, and God blesses them. It's always got me on hold. Maybe he's waiting to connect you to Dr. Luke. He's putting things together for this mission team. Now they all head towards Macedonia. course, I've heard all kinds of suggestions about this man of Macedonia. It must have been the Philippian jailer, since the two first converts were women, Lydia the seller of purple and the demon-possessed damsel. So the man, they say, must be the Philippian jailer. The face in this vision must have been the jailer saying, "Come over and help us." But it seems to me that he didn't want any help until God shook up his world with an earthquake. Whatever. As far as I'm concerned, this may have been some European face like the Philippian jailer. Because you see, God is moving now. The gospel will come to Philippi in Macedonia. And from Philippi, it'll spread throughout Europe. And from Europe, it'll come to you and to me. I'm from Saluda, 500 to 600 population, maybe a little more in the summer. We have the Floridian factor. Well, I'll go there. Y'all can tell I'm not very kind. It's really amusing, it really is. You know, when I was a boy, the Floridians would come up and they would stop at these, right in the middle of the road where some mountain man had driven a pipe up in the side of the mountain. The water was coming out crystal clear. And they'd open their trunk and get milk jugs out of the back. And they'd stand there and fill those milk jugs. The traffic would get stopped, and I always felt like screaming at them, "Get out of the road!" Well, that was long before I went to Florida. Now the state of North Carolina has fixed these nice little pull-offs for them. And they pull off and get their milk jugs and get their water and come back across where their car's out of the road. And having been to Florida now many, many, many times and tried to drink their dead water, now as I go by, I say, "Lord, give them more milk jugs. Give them more milk jugs." That's right. Let them enjoy this good mountain water. I don't know if this man had the face of a Martin Luther. Or maybe a John Gill. Or a John Owen. Or a Spurgeon. Or let's bring it into our country, since we're in the picture here. Maybe in God's great providence, a Jonathan Edwards, or a D.L. Moody, or for that matter, he may have seen your face or my face. I don't know. The Spirit of God convinced him he was to go to Macedonia. Verse 11 says, "Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia." God works in places. And may I remind you, these three people who were converted in Philippi had their different places. Lydia was a businesswoman, a seller of purple. The demon-possessed damsel was dominated by Satan and by man, being a diviner or a soothsayer under the charge of other masters. The Philippian jailer had his place there working for the city of Philippi. But God works in places. Yes, different places. Yes, definite places. And I'll not go into any detail here and talk about the city of Philippi, but may I say, dark places. The city of Philippi was named after a man, Philip. It was a very man-centered culture. And now Rome has come and established a colony here, which made actually the city a little military city with soldiers from Rome and Roman culture and ways infiltrating the city. Those of you who spent time in the military will quickly acknowledge that it seems like so much vice is made available to those who are serving their country. Sometimes in the name of relaxation. It was a dark place. But God had plans to work in Philippi. You know any different places today? Any definite places maybe God has burdened your heart for? Maybe a dark place that seems as though there's no God consciousness. What about that little mobile home park down from the church that nobody's interested in visiting? You think God might be at work down there in that dark place? Or down there at that business where a lot of things go on that you can't help but question when you drive by, whether it's day or night, you feel like darkness has swept into that corner of the community. Could it be God would use you to be light in that dark place? God works in dark places. And so the gospel came to Philippi. Now, I can't talk about you. I don't know you that well. I have to talk about me, my family. People are cruel, really. I had this man come up to me after I'd preached a couple of nights. And I'm getting older, you know, and I say things now that I wouldn't say 25 years ago. But he came up to me and he said, "Are all your illustrations about your family?" Sort of hit me sideways. I decided I'd say something. I said, "I'm sorry, brother. I didn't marry your wife. We didn't have your children. I got to talk about my wife, my children, my grandchildren. Forgive me." I can't tell you all that God may be doing where you're laboring, but I have a little word I'd like to give in conclusion this morning about how God works in places. My brother is 6 years younger than I. He's been the black sheep of our family. My dad, my mom, my sisters, myself, we all sang. We all had a part in the Lord's work. I didn't enjoy it, but I was there. God, by the way, I don't believe God gets back at anybody, but we went to church so much, I despised it. It wasn't church at our church. We were going to church in these other meetings every night. Now look what God has done for me. I'm in church every night. And some meetings in the day. But when my brother turned 16, God called me to preach when I was 16. But when my brother turned 16, he was determined he was going as far out in that world as possible, and he did. If there were anybody, if anybody was caught for some wrong in the community over the weekend, usually the blue light was down at my brother's old beat-up trailer. If anybody had a wreck, it usually involved my brother's truck down the side of a ridge or a banger of a truck in a ditch or something. had a real drinking problem and a doping problem. And he went way out there as far as he could for 18 years. I'll not give all of the story. But after God saved him, which is a glorious miracle in my life, we prayed and cried and fasted and waited for God for years and nothing happened. And then God miraculously changed him. And of course, we're country people. He's a guitar picker and a mandolin player and a fiddle player or violin, according to where you're from. But he's a gifted musician. Great Christian. I asked him some years ago, I said, Jeff, what was it that God used? Where were you when God dealt with you? You seemed so hard and callous. What happened? I was hoping, you know, well, God brought to mind one of your sermons that I heard. No, that wasn't it. It wasn't my dad getting him out of jail time and time again. It wasn't my mother's tears and her pleading with him. That wasn't what touched him. He said, Tom, you remember we had a baby, and he said in the summer of that next year, we wanted to party on the weekend of the 4th like we always had, and we couldn't get a babysitter. So we decided after trying to get a babysitter, we'll just take the baby with us to the party. So he said we worked with her and got her to sleep and laid her down over on the side. And he said I was out on the dance floor smoking, pausing every now and then to drink and doping and playing the fool. And he said after about a couple hours, somebody came up to me and said, Jeff, your baby's crying. He said, good night, it hit me. I'd forgotten we even brought the baby. He went over to check on the baby. And when he reached down to pick up the crying baby, he said, I can't explain it, Tom, but somehow God gripped my heart and I began to weep uncontrollably while I'm holding that baby. And he said, somebody went and got my wife and they said, Jeff must have got a hold of something bad. He's crying. We think he's sick. She came to check on him and she said, Jeff, what's wrong? They think you're sick. And he said, I turned around and said to her, slowly, I am sick. He said, I'm sick of sin and the way we're living. That wasn't the end. There was a few more days God dealt with him, brought him to faith in Christ. But that's where it all started. Now listen, are you listening? If God could go out there on that dance floor and get my brother, you think he can't work down there in that little mobile home park where your grandson's staying? You think God can't go down the road and deal with that loved one that has been so rebellious and resistant? I'm telling you, God is able to do a good work. The life of Christ must first be communicated. He often manifests himself in places that we would miss. May God give some mother renewed faith. May God give some daddy refreshing hope. Yeah, but Tom, you don't know the place to which mine have stooped. You don't know my circumstances. You don't know the terms. You don't know the environment. No, but I know God works in different places, definite places, dark places. May our hearts perceive his work afresh.